place for goal and finishes off the PSG victory.
Nuno Mendes est lancé, Nuno Mendes ravive, Nuno Mendes passe devant Cuadrado, le tir, oh il est beau celui-là, le but de Nuno Mendes.
You know the football, it is what it is.
Le premier but de Ronald Colomboli avec le Paris Saint-Germain, ah quelle joie.
Hello and welcome to PSG Review, also known as the show taking a little bit of stock after the first leg of the quarterfinals in this year's Champions League. What happened? What went wrong? What worked? It's not a result of despair, not a great result either, but nothing to entirely lose the hope over. Essentially, all is still available. There is nothing that blocks out the qualification to the next round other than the team itself. One goal down at half time, which is where we are right now for just under 1 week. It isn't the end of the world, but let's get into that in a moment. My name is Mikko, great to have you listening to PSG Review again, or even if it's your first time ever. In this episode, we will talk about the first leg against Barcelona, of course, which was played on Wednesday night. That's last night as I record this on Thursday. And we also take a closer look into Marquinhos and his new record. The most matches played for PSG as he overtook Jean-Marc Bilogier. It's quite an achievement actually, and then we talk a little bit about the destiny and the future of certain Mbappe. Ethan Mbappe. You can be in touch with me online on the socials at PSG Review Pod on Twitter, where I'm more active, but of course also at PSG Review on Instagram and TikTok. Alternatively, you can also email me psgreview.podcast@gmail.com if you have something to say where only email will do. And I'm also on Blue Sky, just in case you get there too. But for now, it's very, very quiet. But you're not here to get an update about this stuff, right? But the other stuff. So let's get into that. Barcelona had come to Parc des Princes to start the Champions League quarterfinals for these two teams. After some uncertainty, they actually had a very strong squad. And as for PSG, we were missing Kimpembe. Obviously, he's been away for a long time. But also Mukiele, who took a hit on the weekend. Realistically, it was a bit so-so whether Mukiele would have been in a starting 11. I wouldn't have mind if he was, if that would have been the case. But yes, I think that even if he was fit, there's a chance that he wouldn't have played. You never know. Hakimi, of course, was suspended due to accumulation of yellow cards. But other than him, they were pretty much all players PSG would count on in general. Donnarumma in goal, Marquinhos as right back. A bit unusual arrangement, of course, in the absence of Hakimi. Lucases, the Hernandez and Beraldo, they were our centre-back pair. Nuno Mendes was on the left side of defence and midfield with Fabian Ruiz, Vitinha and Lee Kang in. Quite a surprise. The biggest one, to be honest with you, that Warren Zaire-Emery was on the bench. I thought that perhaps he had some issues with flu or stomachache or something. Of course, he came in to the pitch later on, so there was no such thing. But it was a tactical choice to leave him on the bench initially. And to what end it was made, what was the tactic in question? Well, that I don't know or understand. Attack with Kylian Mbappe, Asensio quite surprisingly also in the starting lineup, as was of course Ousmane Dembele. What can I say? It felt a bit like before that first match against Newcastle. I know I don't know as much about football as Luis Enrique does. That's given. I'm not so delusional to suggest otherwise. I'm not one of those, and we all know that internet has them aplenty, but I didn't really get what this was about. This 11, it felt unfit for purpose. It felt like a risk to take in a wrong place. I can understand the idea, or there's certainly an argument to play Asensio, who has a lot of experience against Barcelona in a very pressurized scenarios in Clasicos in Spain, but it still felt a bit of a stretch to have him starting for us. Another one, and I already mentioned this, it was the absence of Warren Zaire-Emery. This is a young player, of course, who brings in a lot of intensity, good amount of pace, great technique with the ball movement, strength and balance. He isn't the easiest to stop or take down. I like him. I mean, we all do like him, I guess. And during the course of this spring, it's okay to admit that he hasn't been quite as good as consistently as he was last autumn when he was just phenomenal. But he has still been very good, and you'd still expect him to be there. You don't want to mess around too much with the midfield, and I felt that we did in this match. Just like in that Newcastle match where Vitinha was on the bench. I also understand that Ugarte isn't quite a solid all-around player, but there are many useful things that he does, and when we have Barcelona walking through our midfield, you miss these players. Vitinha was great. He has a great season, and he was good last night also. As I'm recording this on Thursday, it was last night, and I do think that Fabian Ruiz is a good player for the most of our matches, by far for the most of our matches in any given season, but is he really the type of player that is going to be part of the team that really competes for the biggest trophies? I don't know if you watched earlier this week, for instance, Real Madrid-Manchester City match. Was there one midfielder on the pitch, either side, that was on a similar level to Fabian Ruiz? I'm not having a go at him, but I think that one can also be realistic and wonder if he is someone who can make it. And yesterday he wasn't. He wasn't able to make it. Really a good player, a decent player when we played the toughest Ligue 1 matches. So I'm not saying he doesn't have his merits, but do they reach quite this far? Well, on a good day maybe, I don't know. In the one Champions League final that we ever played, we had a midfield with Marquinhos, Herrera and Paredes, and we weren't far from winning it. So in that light, anything is possible, I guess. But right now, the competition is simply so immense that it seems unlikely. The defense was mixed back. Well, it was very mixed. Players were off position a bit due to Hakimi's and Mukiele's absences. And technically, Skriniar could have also been used, but realistically, he would have had difficulties with Barcelona's rapid counter-attacks. Let me say the thing that I don't like to say, that I don't want to say, just to get it out of the way. Barcelona was playing very well. Their defense was really good, especially in the first half, and in attack, Rafinha was particularly very impressive. I don't like the club, that's why I'd rather not say these things, but we have to be realistic. Of course, they were very good. I was watching the match with our fan club here in Helsinki, where I live, and we were talking about this quite a bit. By the way, has Lewandowski ever scored a goal against PSG? I have a feeling that he hasn't been able to do that. Perhaps if you remember a time when he has, you can let me know on social media, but I have a feeling that he hasn't. But, you know, let's get back into us and the match by PSG. First half, very poor by us. It feels a little unfair to single out Lucas Peraldo, but he isn't yet ready for this level. He's a very solid defender, don't get me wrong, and I think there is every possibility that he will be a very good, even great player. But he's basically fresh out of the plane from Sao Paulo FC, and he's in the deep end right now. He lacks experience, and it comes out as certain type of naivete. He just doesn't yet know all the things he needs to know in order to be a player who can play matches like this on this level. You can't be nonchalant, you can't be relaxed even for the briefest moment, but he wasn't alone, of course. His namesake Hernandez was on unfamiliar ground also a little bit, and neither he or Marquinhos managed to stop these goals. The goals that came, three goals conceded. I am first going through the bad news, and then in a moment we will look at the more hopeful ideas. Donnarumma, there's sort of variation to what extent people blame him for these goals last night. I mean, three goals, like said, I personally don't think he was as bad as many thought. But of course, like said, I mean, three goals is not great success either. There's no argument to support that. But the question is to what extent you blame the other areas of play, the other team members around him. There's, I don't think, anybody who would suggest that Donnarumma had a great night. No goalkeeper has a great night and concedes three goals. But to what extent all those goals were his fault? To some, but some people say that they were sort of almost 100%, well, nearby. Don't think that they were quite to that extent, but he certainly did not cover himself in glory there. On the whole, after the first half and PSG's half football, the second half started much better. Bradley Barcola came in and came in with an impact also, but also Dembele was very good, and he was the one who at the time equalized the game with a good shot 1-1. Not long after that, Vitinha scored another, and all of a sudden PSG was leading 2-1. There was more feeling of redemption rather than revenge in the air. I was so happy, and I thought that, okay, we can do this. But after these goals, it was Barcelona who scored two more goals. And now when half of this duel has been played, they lead with one goal. It's not a catastrophic scoreline, far from it, but it's also not a great one. PSG has played pretty poorly in Champions League away matches this season, but this is the time, of course, for Luis Enrique to come back strong, and especially if we could get a quick goal in Catalonia, then anything really is possible. Need to get the tactics much better than this time around, but we will also have to wait a bit. There's no match for us this weekend, so the next thing is trip to Barcelona. Let me give you one of my big grievances. Well, it's quite a melancholic thing, actually, because unless PSG managed to turn around the scoreline on the second leg, which I very much hope we can, this could have been Kylian Mbappe's last Champions League match at Parc des Princes as a PSG player. Now, every time when he's upset and frustrated to be substituted off or even rested in a match in Ligue 1, he's rested to be ready and full of vitality for matches like this one. This is the match where we need him. We don't necessarily need him in those other matches. Yes, he can help us a lot, but this is the match where we desperately need him. This is exactly what he has been spared for, and his output was incredibly forgettable. Let's be polite about it. I'm sorry to report this, but we needed more from him, and he just wasn't able to give it. It wasn't forthcoming. This is where he is our make it or break it guy, still for a few more months. So he didn't do all that well last night. He wasn't the only one. I have mentioned other names also, but since he earns more than anyone else by quite a margin, then you know the expectations are understandably quite different as well. And it's not about money. It's not only about money. We know what he can do, and we are hoping that he will do it. And last night, well, he was not doing it. Vitinha Nuno Mendes. See, I'm finishing this topic with some positives, some silver linings. They really played very well, as did Dembele, although not quite for a full 90 minutes. Barcola came in with immediate effect and could have scored a goal also. He had some opportunities. There were some moments that were great. There were highlights, but essentially not enough of them. It wasn't good enough match by PSG, not by a long shot. This is pretty end-to-end football that was being played. Both teams had chances. We could have lost with bigger numbers, let's be realistic about it. But also we could have won the match. A little bit of luck could have gone a long way, but I think it's safe to say that Barcelona's defense, especially on the first half, was very good. Second half, it opened up a little bit. There's an argument that should he have been introduced a little bit earlier when there started to be a little bit more room, you know, in that defensive area for Barcelona. But you know, it's always easy to make that analysis afterwards. Although, in all fairness, I was thinking about that also at the time. But with a little bit of luck, things could have really been different, like said. And we really need to see big improvement in order to really go for it in terms of coming back on hostile ground next week. Barcelona will have a few players who will miss the next match due to accumulation of the yellow cards, whereas we won't. Hakimi will be back. Mbappe has to do better, and I think he knows this. Of course he does know this. He understands it. And my guess is that we could see quite a different player on the pitch come next Tuesday night. We need the World Cup final second half Mbappe after the not-so-amazing first half. Right? And that's what we need, but not just by him. We need 11 players determined to reach their goal, our goal. And it is possible. I haven't lost faith, but for it to actually happen, the whole squad needs to wake up. We need to see a whole different energy on the pitch. Whole different energy. That's what we need. It won't be easy. Definitely won't be easy, but it won't be impossible. We missed a great opportunity, but this is where we test the level of these players, really. This is not a rehearsal now, and if you are unable to play these types of matches, then what are you doing in our team to begin with? You never quite know which PSG is going to step on stage before the match, and this time it was very lackluster, but much improved for the second half. In Barcelona, we will need 90 minutes of no excuses, 90 minutes of sacrifice and service by the players, the whole squad. Like I said, this isn't how Mbappe wants to end his time in Paris. I don't think so. Last time in Barcelona, he scored a hat-trick, but none of those goals count right now. They all have to be scored again. Last night, on the whole, Barcelona was better than us. Luis Enrique must do his self-reflection also. This was not a feather to his cap either. We need to see some magic next Tuesday. After that, we will see how the season is seen to its end. When Marcos Aguas Correa, or as we better know him as Marquinhos, put on his captain's armband on Wednesday night and led PSG under the floodlights of the legendary Parc des Princes, he became a record holder for PSG. He overtook Jean-Marc Bilogeau, who has played 435 matches in our red and blue shirt. Against Clermont, when Marquinhos came from the bench, he equaled the record, but now he's the sole undisputed holder of a record that most likely won't be broken very soon. I don't think it's going to be broken in 2020s, maybe 30s. It's a huge achievement. It really is, and he has seen many phases of this project. He's witnessed close to even, if not entirely, full QSI era, and now he has been captain since after the Champions League final of 2020, when his compatriot, I could say mentor, Thiago Silva left the club. The reason why I say this record won't be broken anytime soon is because from the currently active PSG players, Kylian Mbappe now has 301 matches, a great number also, which equals Edinson Cavani. That is no small feat either, but all the signs are suggesting that Mbappe isn't going to play in Paris for that many more matches. Some romantics suggest that he could come back after his contract in Madrid, which we now assume could be the most realistic option for his future, but that's too far to even consider. I hope that by then we have a good functional squad and we don't really necessarily need him. You know, I certainly won't say never about it, never say never about anything. It's a kind of cliche, but I also don't entertain things like this. Let's assume that he will leave with a little bit over 300 matches for PSG, and that's that. And up next after that, out of active players, Presnel Kimpembe with 236 matches, so full 200 fewer than our current record, which will be going up for as long as Marquinhos is a PSG player, and after that, it is Danilo with 152 matches. Well, that is actually not entirely accurate, because I'm leaping over Levin Kurzawa, who is technically still an active PSG player. Well, at least a passive PSG player, but nevertheless, he's still in our books for a few more months. Danilo will overtake him possibly this month, but certainly before the end of the year. It's funny to me how Danilo Pereira, who I like a lot, by the way, he hasn't had his best season, very far from it, and it never really works that well when he plays together with Milan Skriniar against counter-attacking teams, as in Ligue 1 tends to happen. But he has been one of the most significant defensive players for PSG in the last couple of years, and it has happened almost accidentally, without anyone paying huge amount of attention. He came into the club in a very difficult moment and was collateral damage in the battle of wills between Thomas Tuchel and Leonardo. Danilo had played as a defensive midfielder before, for the most part, but it was said that he could also be used as a centre-back, which is what Thomas Tuchel had been asked, and essentially he was then, for Paris, the Thiago Silva replacement. Although, realistically, Marquinhos was the Thiago Silva replacement and Kimpembe was the Marquinhos replacement. They just sort of stepped up in a pecking order. And it's pretty funny to think that what then was so controversial is now quite normal. Danilo hasn't played as a six, as a defensive midfielder in a long time. He has become a central defender, just like Thomas Tuchel imagined that he would. Well, I don't know if he imagined that he would. He sort of like forced him into that spot. That's how life works sometimes. Who would have guessed that he will become such a player for Paris Saint-Germain? What is the future of Mbappe? Well, which Mbappe is the detail that we need to clarify first. So let's look into the situation with Ethan Mbappe, the younger brother who we remember having been seen next to Kylian since forever, since his Monaco days. And he, unlike his brother, is a Titi Parisien. He is our academy player. And of course, mainly because Kylian being in Paris, but it's not nothing. These types of things, they do matter. It should not be overlooked that he is one of our own, and despite the name in the shirt, he is his own person and deserves to be treated as such. The reports now are suggesting that his professional contract negotiations pretty much ended the same moment his brother informed the club that he's leaving. Difficult to know if that is entirely true, it's what is being said, but it certainly corresponds with the fact that he has been left outside of the squad ever since, with the Clermont match as an exception, no other match comes to mind. Basically, the message is this: you were used as a bait for your brother's extension, not without any merit, of course, but not enough merit to play on your own right. It's a raw deal. What kind of player is he actually? Well, now, I have to admit, I don't follow the youth team forensically, but he is, of course, a key player there. He scores good few goals, and when he has had his few appearances in the first team, he has been a fairly safe player. Nothing out of this world, but a solid gameplay. In our current squad, it makes sense that he isn't primarily a first team player, unlike Warren Saar-Emery, for instance. And one of the big differences between these two, to me, is that Ethan Mbappe doesn't seem to have yet finished his physical development. He comes across a little lightweight, a bit like Xavi Simons earlier, and we know that this is something that passes. Of course it does, but I don't know if Ethan is ready yet for the full swing of things. That's how it looks to me, certainly. Right now, he would appear to be behind Seni Majulu and Yoram Saku in the pecking order as they started against Clermont, but of course it's got a lot to do with the position as well. Should PSG give him a contract? I don't know. I think it would certainly be a good idea if he agrees now, after he's had this raw deal and a moment of clarity that he has been indulged to please his brother. But if both parties could come to an agreement, he could go and have a loan deal, and then we see what is what. It's perfectly possible that he will be a great player in a few years' time or even sooner, but nothing is guaranteed. And of course, the club has to make decisions that make the most sense in their vision. Whether he stays put in Paris or goes somewhere, I would not recommend him to follow his brother anymore. I think it's time, well, I would say it would be a good idea for him to think that it's time for him to stand on his own feet and prove that he isn't just the little brother, but a player in his own right. A small talking point from the last weekend, but let's address it nonetheless. The president of Le Havre Athletic Club, Jean-Michel Roussier, after PSG fielded a heavily rotated squad against Clermont, he said this: "I send a text message to Ligue 1 to express to them how I feel about seeing PSG not caring about the championship, making fun of it." And apparently, according to some sources, this would be a sentiment shared by some of the other leaders. We can set aside the fact that Roussier is a former Marseille director. Perhaps that suggests that there's no love lost between him and PSG, but his argument is pretty much made empty by the fact that PSG wasn't beaten by Clermont. To be honest with you, it wasn't particularly even match, and Paris dominated it most of the time. There was just one silly sequence of mistakes with Clermont punished from, and that made it hard work. But I was at the stadium last time when PSG was playing against Clermont at Parc des Princes, and we had Kylian Mbappe, we had Lionel Messi, we had Marco Verratti, we had Donnarumma, and a whole host of other players, and we lost that one. It was the last match of the last season, and I can tell you, some of the stars were disrespecting Ligue 1 while on the pitch that match, much more so than anything that Luis Enrique would have done with his load management and rotation. It wasn't just the right choice, it was the absolute necessity, and I take this criticism. I don't care about it, but I take it and I hear it if we were beaten by Clermont. But if we aren't, then I'm sure that these other directors should be having their own issues to deal and address. I get that people can get a little unhappy about the financial imbalances, but also Brest is the second in Ligue 1. We've had Lens making an amazing run last season, and to be honest with you, if they would have won the championship, it would have been perfectly deserved, but I do get it, and perhaps some will have antipathies towards Paris in general as a city, as the capital city. That happens in many countries, but I will say also this: most directors and coaches tend to understand that PSG bringing their stars to their stadiums once a year is a sold-out show for the most part, that it helps with the TV rights and such. Having that ambition isn't detrimental to the league, and most people understand that. They don't know anything to PSG, of course, very far from it, and I get even if they detest us. But for a director to make such a comment, well, I think that he should know better. Valdemar Kita of Nantes said that it's normal for PSG to protect its players before the Champions League. Well, absolutely. But Laszlo Belerni, the coach of Metz, was harmonizing with Rossier, and he said, I don't want to offend PSG or the players who were used by saying that it was the B team. What will the young people say about the way I consider them in this case? Yes, it bothered me, but between saying and saying nothing, I prefer to say nothing. He says while very much not saying it. You can't say it and then say I'm not saying anything. But okay, for Metz, it's okay. I understand, because for them it's quite key to see how Clermont does. They are competing at the bottom of the table. It's a relegation battle, so I get it. But perhaps there's a bigger picture to see, or at least to understand that there is one. But such is life of a Parisian football club at the apex of French football. PSG women are currently on an international break. They will be back fairly soon, actually as soon as this weekend. They'll be in Guingamp for Saturday, and then 7 days later it's Champions League semi-final time for them too against Olympique Lyonnais. For men, like mentioned, there's nothing in between these two Champions League nights, so they don't have a match scheduled for the weekend. They will travel to Catalonia to play there on Tuesday night. It's a real reality check, but we get into it when that time comes. That's all for now. Thanks so much for listening, for having spent this moment with me. I appreciate it. And if you want, you can recommend the show to others. Follow me online on these platforms like Twitter, as I insist on calling it. It's at PSG Review Pod, or over there on Instagram and TikTok, it is at PSG Review. Until next time, take good care. Peace.